Have you ever sat in your car after work, heart pounding, unable to walk into your own home? Your phone buzzes with notifications, each one triggering a jolt of panic. A budget meeting email feels like a physical threat. Inside, you frantically recount your day to anyone he'll listen, scroll through disaster scenarios online, and buy things you don't need while drowning in credit card debt. At 1:37 a.m., despite medication, you wake in a cold sweat. This isn't anxiety as a clinical diagnosis. It's your body screaming that something fundamental is wrong with how you're living. We've built a world our nervous systems can't handle. Constant digital connection masks profound isolation. We're bombarded with global crises in real time, expected to have opinions on everything while losing our ability to think independently. Politicians tell us who to hate, algorithms dictate what we lack, and we mistake this external noise for our authentic inner voice. But here's the truth most miss. Anxiety isn't the enemy, it's the smoke alarm. And we've been trying to silence the alarm while our house burns down around us. What if, instead of running from anxiety, we listened to what it's desperately trying to tell us? Think about sitting on your couch, ignoring mounting responsibilities, unpaid bills, unfinished projects, unanswered calls from loved ones. Suddenly, your smoke alarm blares. Instead of finding the fire, you stuff pillows over the alarm, rip out batteries from every detector, all while flames consume your home. This is exactly how we treat anxiety. We medicate it, avoid it, numb it with food or shopping or work, anything to silence that piercing sound. But the alarm isn't malfunctioning. Your body is working perfectly, trying to protect you from real dangers you're refusing to acknowledge. Your anxiety alarms sound for four fundamental reasons. You're disconnected from meaningful community. You're genuinely unsafe in some area of your life. Your body is unhealthy, overstimulated, or carrying unhealed trauma. You lack true autonomy and control over your choices. These aren't abstract psychological concepts, they're survival signals. Your racing heart when checking email isn't irrational. Your body recognizes you're drowning in commitments you can't control. Your sleeplessness isn't a disorder. Your mind finally has quiet to process the chaos you've been outrunning all day. What starts as appropriate alarm responses becomes habitual, then addictive. We actually get hooked on our own stress chemicals. Cortisol and adrenaline create a reward loop our brains begin to crave. When there's no real threat, our minds manufacture one to satisfy the addiction. When someone receives an anxiety diagnosis, they often internalize it as permanent identity. I have anxiety becomes I am anxious, a fixed, unchangeable state. A diagnosis should be a snapshot, not a life sentence, a road sign indicating current conditions, not your final destination. Medication saved many lives, including the author's, but it's not a cure, it's a tool. After years of ignoring alarm signals, some nervous systems become so hypersensitive that medication becomes necessary to turn down the volume enough to do healing work. But the alarm isn't the problem, the fire is. Anxiety narrows attention to perceived threats, making everything about my life, my happiness, my pain. While acknowledging needs matters, we can't let dark experiences become our entire identity. Your body constantly solves for truth, even when your mind refuses. Your nervous system knows when you're in an abusive relationship, financially broke, or when your marriage is failing, and it sounds every alarm. Choosing reality means taking honest inventory of painful truths you've been avoiding and good things you've stopped noticing. Our brains fixate on threats, creating an illusion of control. During a dark period, one man obsessed over apocalyptic scenarios until his finance friend stopped him. "I don't have a meteorite plan." The smartest people prepare reasonably while focusing on present reality. Stop rehearsing disasters you can't control and start addressing the actual fires in your life right now. When a best-selling author had no one to call beyond family, he realized, "We've become catastrophically lonely. Not just singles or elderly, everyone. Marriages dissolve, friendships fade to text threads, and we're attempting something unprecedented, managing life entirely alone." The statistics are stark. 82% say those around them don't truly know them. Over half lack someone for emergencies, and nearly half of married couples struggle with genuine intimacy. We've voluntarily subjected ourselves to what prisons use as punishment. Loneliness directly triggers anxiety because isolated brains intensify threat detection. Without a tribe to share survival burdens, your body floods with stress hormones, increasing risk for heart attacks, addiction, depression, and early death. Technology enables communication, but not connection. It provides data without the embodied presence our brains require. Love forms the cornerstone of a non-anxious life, being fully seen, heard, known, and still loved, while fully knowing and loving others. This means showing up consistently, treating strangers with dignity, never betraying trust, apologizing sincerely, and practicing self-care. The non-anxious person actively rejects loneliness by choosing connection, even when uncomfortable. The most insidious enslavement is self-imposed. Four areas repeatedly trap people in anxiety: money, possessions, time, and boundaries. True financial freedom means owing nothing, keeping your entire paycheck, leaving toxic jobs without panic, handling emergencies calmly, experiencing the joy of generosity. Most people live paycheck to paycheck, perpetually one crisis away from disaster. Our possessions aren't just objects, they're emotional anchors. We trap memories in things, keeping items just in case, while suffocating under accumulated stuff. One man kept his deceased grandfather's jacket for years, despite it not fitting. The breakthrough came when he realized, "My granddad isn't in this old jacket. He's in here," pointing to his heart. Time isn't the enemy, our relationship with it is. Our time is our life, and our attention is the doorway to our hearts. We disrespect time by overscheduling ourselves, cramming calendars years in advance, leaving no space for spontaneity. Our minds race with anxious thoughts at bedtime because that's the first moment of quiet we've allowed all day. Technology has erased all boundaries. We can't distinguish where we end and others begin. We say yes out of fear, sacrifice our health to please others, exhaust ourselves as peacekeepers. Boundaries come from believing in your time and your space enough to protect it. Setting boundaries may upset some people, but it's essential for healthier relationships and reduced anxiety. When a 5-year-old melts down at 5:15 a.m. and the father thinks, "I suck at being a dad," our relentless inner critic is revealed. Building a non-anxious life requires challenging these voices. True mindfulness isn't spiritual enlightenment. It's experiencing life as it unfolds rather than through rigid good or bad categories. Mindfulness has two components: awareness and curiosity. Instead of spiraling into shame, a mindful approach recognizes context. Both were exhausted, she's only five, and one moment doesn't define parenting. This creates space to step back, question automatic narratives, and respond intentionally. Most people live reactively, lacking skills to be present. When someone's spouse reaches for their hand, triggering memories of betrayal, mindful awareness allows them to notice their reaction, breathe, and ask, "What is my body protecting me from?" This creates space for intentional connection rather than automatic withdrawal. The second entry point is curiosity about our inner critic. We'd never tolerate someone verbally abusing a store clerk, yet we constantly berate ourselves. "You're weird. You're too fat. You're a bad mom." Practice curiosity by recalling anxious moments and identifying where urges manifest physically. Write down judgmental thoughts and demand evidence. Sometimes your gut instinct about being unsafe, mindfulness helps recognize when action is needed. A non-anxious life requires addressing both physical health and emotional wounds. Trauma from acute events, neglect, secondary exposure, or accumulated injuries lives in how our bodies respond today. Healing happens through counseling, boundaries, grief work, medical care, exercise, or necessary life changes. As one therapist observed, family dysfunction rolls down from generation to generation until one person has the courage to turn and face the flames. Being that person means breaking cycles, not achieving perfection. Physical health directly shapes mental well-being. Exercise is the single most important longevity drug, strengthening threat assessment and reducing anxiety. Sleep researcher Matthew Walker emphasizes 7 to 9 hours as essential. Poor sleep directly fuels anxiety. Nutrition basics: eat mostly unprocessed foods, balance macronutrients, watch calories. Stimulants can mimic anxiety symptoms. The foundation is safety, creating environments that feel stable and connected. This might mean leaving toxic situations or setting firm boundaries. True peace isn't avoiding hardship, but facing it prepared, with emergency funds, strong relationships, and internal resilience that allows genuine grief without consuming anxiety. Belief requires anchoring yourself to something bigger while releasing control, like skydiving, terrifying until you discover transcendence. Throughout history, humans were guided by tribe, environment, and gods. Now we've solved problems ourselves. Dating apps, global food chains, weather prediction. Our technological achievements make us arrogant until a pandemic or stroke reminds us we control very little. Death anxiety drives much human behavior. David Foster Wallace observed, "Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship." Today, we worship ourselves, our bodies, achievements, social media presence, but we're not strong enough to hold up the universe. Despite unprecedented wealth and mental health access, anxiety levels have reached uncharted territory. To create a truly non-anxious life, you must believe in something transcendent. The final piece is choosing the hard path, intentionally incorporating difficulty into your life. This builds genuine confidence and prepares you for inevitable dark moments. Modern humans have an unmet need for challenge. We've made life too easy. Climate control, on-demand services, technology removing deep thinking. This means exploring new ideas, seeking challenging relationships, pursuing quality information beyond algorithms. For your body, daily movement, walking, dancing, lifting weights, yoga. For your soul, giving yourself grace, changing self-talk, honoring creative impulses. The non-anxious life isn't easy or tragedy-free. Such a life doesn't exist. Instead, it's an anti-fragile, counter-cultural approach, choosing patience, joy, and kindness over frantic schedules and endless accumulation. Build a life worth living, face your fires directly, and anchor yourself to something transcendent. Your anxiety isn't the enemy. It's the messenger, and it's time to finally listen.